The message contained on this CD is a live recording of a sermon preached by Brother Alan Bailey on the evening of March 28, 2008. We felt the message to be so compelling and important that we have reproduced it, making it available in this present CD. And now, without further delay, we present to you our present study from the Word of God.
Tonight, the singing has been wonderful. I could preach a little less if you sing a little more. That was just really, really wonderful. I enjoyed the message we learned from singing. Each song should carry a special meaning that has an impact within us from singing in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And it was a great pleasure this evening. Would you please turn with me to the book of Romans? Tonight, it is going to be so easy to follow me in our lesson. The Lord willing, and Alan willing, 90% of my verses will be from the book of Romans. That's pretty easy. There's only 16 chapters. It would not be a total left and right in the book of Romans that we've been doing from majority of the lesson, but in order for this outline to flow in the way it normally flows, and I'll explain that momentarily, that they'll be referring to one verse and to another verse and then back to another, but it's in the book of Romans. Our lesson tonight is entitled The Romans Road to Salvation. Now you may be asking, what in this world is the Romans Road to Salvation? You that were raised in the Church of Christ, you're probably thinking, what is he talking about? You that were raised in a other religious faith and with other religious beliefs, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Most of your friends, your family, your neighbors, your colleagues at work, most of your community contacts are taught the Romans Road to Salvation. The Romans Road to Salvation is a simple plan that is arranged in choosing select verses from the book of Romans that will illustrate what their conviction is on salvation. And I want to point out, I love to give credit where credit is due. And I want to point out the good things about the Romans Road to Salvation. But at the same time, I want to be fair and honest with the topic. And I want to share with you there are missing ingredients in the traditional giving of Romans Road to Salvation. Now, if you want to sit down and read 1,490 articles on the website, type in under Google the Romans Road to Salvation. I checked it on George's computer today. It says there are 1 million, I think it was 490,000 articles. So have at it. They're all there. And they're basically pro-it. Now there will be a few articles in that 1,490,000 that you find that may say, well, here's what I have issues with. But primarily, this is what it's taught. And listen, friends, this is what is taught in the religious world. If you want to know why is it hard sometimes to get a friend, a family member, a contact, why is it hard to get them to listen to some areas of concern that you have, it's because this is where they've been taught. And it's a lot of good. I want to point out something. Did you know when you have a document, however long the document is, and say 90% of that document is true, and 10% of its error, it's real hard to denote the error because the majority of it is true. And if you have a document that 100% of your document and 50% is true and 50% error, well, it's a lot easier to denote the error. Well, that's what we're happening here in the Romans Road to Salvation. A host of it will be accurate. And I want to give honor and respect to good points that are right. And it's several Bible verses there. And I plan to illustrate that for you on the board today. But I will be very forthright. I've already told you early on, I want to show you an area that was left out. It's what I call the missing ingredient. That's my little phrase in community homesteads with people from house to house. I thought a lot of what you said is right, but there's the missing ingredient. And I want to talk about that this evening. Go with me, please, to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and verse 17. For I am not ashamed, I'll begin verse 15, please. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation unto every one that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Now, we're talking tonight about a matter of salvation, the power of God unto salvation. We're not talking about what you can take or leave. We're not talking about what it's really not a big deal. We're not talking about, well, you believe what you want to believe and I believe what I want to believe. We are talking about book, chapter, and verse of salvation. Matter of going to heaven or losing our soul. So I encourage all of you, young and old, follow me carefully in your Bible. It's going to be extremely easy tonight. We'll write these verses on the board, and it'll be easy for you to follow. And it'll be at the very end of the lesson, time permitting. I'll probably throw in a couple of other verses. And I try to contain myself, it's really easy as preachers are to just branch off and give a lot of other verses that prove the same point. But in this lesson, I'm going by the outline that I have in my possession of the Romans Road to Salvation, and I'm using it in the order that they have given it, and it's given in a good and a logical order, and I'm going to use that outline and point out the good, and then point out the missing ingredient. That's our whole plan for the evening. And I encourage you, if you have any question at all, please ask. I would be glad to discuss that with you. At this time, our servants and brothers have been selected to lead us to the congregation in a word of prayer. So we would ask him at this time, please, to direct our minds in prayer. The Romans Road to Salvation. I would not want you at any time tonight to think I'm being disrespectful to anybody, but I'm not. I respect anybody that is religious and that has convictions and hold to their convictions. But I respect people who are willing to listen with an open mind, open and honest and sincere, and study the Word of God, and their willingness to take time to investigate God's will and God's Word, and to be what God would have them to be. You know, today, if we're not real careful, we'll find ourselves individuals who are willing to believe what we believe, but we're not willing to investigate something different. I want you to always be open-minded. We can learn from a lot of people, but I want you to always maintain, you know what I've written down here on the board many times, book, chapter, and verse. Book, Romans, chapter 1, verse 1, for an example. I want everybody to always demand that. Not just simply say, suggest it, I mean demand it. Because in the final day of judgment, that's what's going to be open, and we're going to all be judged what's written in that book. Well, what is the Romans Road to Salvation? To some of you, that'll be quite a mystery. To others of you, you'll say, well, that takes me back a while, but I remember that. The Romans Road to Salvation is simply a powerful method of explaining why we need salvation. It is a powerful way of explaining how God provided salvation. It is a method of explaining how we can receive salvation. And fourthly, it is a way of explaining what are the results of salvation. Why this is so important is, we sometimes struggle with why people see a passage of Scripture, and to you it's clear as water, but to someone else it doesn't mean anything to them. I will show you for tonight's lesson's over what it is most people that you're in contact with and that I'm in contact with, what most people believe religiously. Therefore, if we write on the board today, we're going to illustrate this. Go with me and remember now, all the chapter, verse be from the book of Romans. So when I write chapter and verse, it's from Romans. I may not always write Romans every time, and probably I will not. Okay, beginning number one. The Romans Road to Salvation presents the fact, and it is a fact, we all have sinned. Now, I have not made up these thoughts today. I will show you one brief example, and that's right here, and I printed off on the internet several weeks ago. What is the Romans Road to Salvation? Each of the first few points, 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, are my 5 points of lesson. We'll be examining that according to Scripture. You know, that is the biblical precedent. Search the Scripture daily to make sure these things are so. We're going to be examining that, and we'll go in the same lineup that they go in. You're welcome to read that, even though I've got my own personal notes scribbled around, but you'll find that on the internet in many, many ways. At times, you know, people will work things differently, but this is one that gave a good, concise area. But what would the book of Romans teach about we've all sinned? Go with me, if you will, to the book of Romans, chapter 3. In Romans, the 3rd chapter, verse 10,
There are two verses, actually, we will notice. We will notice the book of Romans, chapter 10, chapter 3, and verse 10. Romans 3, verse 10, and then it's written, there is none righteous, no, not one. We know today we've all sinned. And we know the Word of God teaches that sin separates mankind from God. We don't want any part of being separated from God. Sin is the only thing that separates man from God. Sin is the only thing that keeps you out of heaven. Sin is the only thing that sends you to a devil's hell. We have all sinned, and we've come short of the glory of God. And realizing that we've all sinned, it makes us sit up and take note. It makes us really be very aware of the fact that we've got to get rid of those sins. Whatever it takes, we've got to get rid of those sins. Whatever we have believed, we've got to get rid of those sins. Romans 3, verse 10. Now, going down, please, to verse 23. Look here at Romans, the third chapter here, at verse 23. The Word of God says the following. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all on a level playing field here today. The fact is, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Not one of you have not sinned. Alan has not sinned. I have sinned. I don't know why it's so hard for people to say, I have sinned. That part about you have sinned, well, we got that down pat. I mean, we can say that without any of that. You have sinned. That's easy. I have sinned. Oh, that's a little harder. I have sinned. You have sinned. Every one of you here have sinned. We've all sinned, the Bible says. And we've all come short of the glory of God. And when you look at the Romans Road to Salvation, generally, you'll see this being the first and foremost point of establishing the fact that we've all sinned. And there's not one thing about that that I would differ with. We've all sinned, Romans 3:10. We've all sinned, Romans 3:23. Now, sometimes, if you see an extended article on the Romans Road, what different ones may write down, I might differ with. Now, I'll be very candid with you about that. But when it gives you a verse that says their point, a point in a passage, who am I to argue with that? I'm not going to argue with that. We've all sinned. And let us all realize that. Let us all realize we've all sinned. Now, the question is, what are we going to do about it? What are the consequences of sin? Which, by the way, is your second point. The consequences of sin. Now, we realize we have all sinned. Therefore, let us carefully monitor our spiritual life and understand the consequences of sin. Would you go with me? Romans 6 and 23. Romans the 6th chapter and verse 23. The Word of God says the following. To many of you, you can simply flip the page and there it is. Romans 6 and 23. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I want everybody in this assembly to be fully, completely aware of the fact we've all sinned, and the consequence of sin, that is, the penalty of sin, is death. That is spiritual death. Really, in a certain way, you might look at that two ways. You know, in the days of Adam and Eve, in the book of Genesis, they violated the will of God, and they were given, obviously, physical death. But then again, you find the Word of God teaches about spiritual death. But here in Romans the 3rd chapter, verse 23, Romans 6th chapter, and verse 23, it illustrates the wages of sin is death. Listen, if we die in sin, we will be lost. That is serious. Now, don't play around with your eternal soul. Don't you think I'm going to live forever. I'll live to be 80 or 90. And when I get to be an old man or old woman, after I've sown my wild oats, I'll then take care of my spiritual life. Wrong. You know, from the time I was in elementary grades, there was at least one person in our school. A lot of times I would know them, but a lot of times I wouldn't growing up. But at least one person in each in my school would die. Some drowned, some got killed in hunting accidents, some got killed in car wrecks. Variety of things to their life at very young and tender ages. You can't say I'm going to live to be 78 or 90 because you very well may not. I attended just a month or maybe two ago by now, Brother Ed Daniels, bless his heart, and his wife, please his heart. Their 18-year-old son went to bed one night and didn't wake up. 18 years old. They lost their son to death. So young people, I want you to understand. And I don't know who the oldest person in here. I may be, but there's an old folks. Maybe somebody's got to be, but if you do, God bless you. But let me tell you what. That to be clearly understood. You don't know when you're going to die. The main thing is you be ready to meet your Maker when you die. That's what you want to do. And you need to understand, yes, we've all sinned, and the Romans Road to Salvation teaches that. And they do a good job of teaching that. And the consequence of sin, the penalty, is death. If a person dies of their sin, they would die what the Word of God calls the second death. What the Word of God calls the spiritual death. They're going to lose their soul, and it is forever and ever and ever. Oh, that is scary. I don't want any part of that. I don't want you to lose your soul. I want you to be saved. Now, we've got to figure out a way to let people know, yes, you've sinned. Yes, the consequences are horrible. But what can we do to turn the tide? The third point of the Romans Road to Salvation begins a very beautiful way back. And that is believing that Jesus Christ died for you, and He died for me. He died for you, He died for me. Did you realize that? Nearly 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ died at Calvary for you. Isn't that wonderful? He died for you. Isn't that glorious? He died for me. That's magnificent. Jesus Christ died, and we need to believe the fact that Jesus Christ died for us. Go with me, please. Romans 5 and verse 8. Oh, this is quite a passage. In Romans 5 and verse 8. The Bible says, "But God commended His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." That's amazing. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While people were treating Him worse than you would treat an animal, Christ died for people. He was so willing to die at Calvary, to shed His blood at Calvary, to take away that Old Testament, to bring in that New Testament. He was very willing to do that. And He did that. He shed His blood. Jesus died at Calvary so you can be saved. And let it be understood that we need to put our faith and our belief in Jesus Christ and realize that He died for us. But I want you to know something today. The fact that Jesus died at Calvary for us does not guarantee you you're going to heaven. It does not guarantee that. What it guarantees you is there's a plan put forth in place by God. If you'll obey that plan, you'll go to heaven. But if you, for whatever reason, you turn your back and you walk away from that plan, you're going to be lost. I turn away and I walk away from that plan, I'm going to be lost. God is no respecter of persons. Man, woman, young, old, it doesn't matter. If we walk away from God, we're going to lose our soul. Therefore, we've got to understand that we've got to believe that Jesus Christ died for us. He died. We should be thankful to God Almighty that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. When you look at Romans the 5th chapter, verse 8, we just have to take this and look at this and be awe. While we were yet sinners, He died for us. He didn't die for us because we were so great and glorious and unbelievably wonderful. He died for us because we were lost. We were headed for a devil's hell. We were in deep trouble. But Christ died for us. That's a true friend. You know, if you had a loved one, a wife, a kid, a husband, a spouse, or just a close friend, and they were dying of a kidney disease, and their kidneys were gone, and you had two healthy kidneys, and yours were able to interact with them, and you could lose one of your kidneys and give to them, and they could live, and you could live, you'd do it. But let me ask you something. If you had somebody over here, you couldn't hardly stomach. You couldn't stand. That particular person just rubbed you the wrong way. They had treated you ugly. They lied to you. They cheated you. They done this to you. I mean, that particular person was not on your I like list. How quick would you be ready to give them a kidney? Jesus died for us while we were yet sinners. He was here to bring us to God, to bring us to salvation. That's why I love reading Romans, the first chapter, verse 15 and 16. It talks about the gospel being the power of God unto salvation. We want to present the gospel to everybody we possibly can so we can be saved. So I want everybody here to understand, Jesus died for you even though you were a sinner. He died for me, even though I was a sinner. He died for the people that crucified Him. He died for the people that spit on Him. He died for the people that hit Him with their fist. He died for the people that put the nails in His hands. He died for the people that put that crown of thorns upon His head. He died for the people that were just treated Him so awful. He died for them. Our Savior and our Lord is so much risen above the way we would react with people typically. But He was better than we are. He was our Savior. He was tempted like we are, yet without sin. It is tremendously awesome what Jesus has done for us. Therefore, what do we need to do? Oh, we need to trust in Jesus to save. Trust in Jesus Christ to save. Oh, this is so important. Would you go with me, please? Romans 10, verse 9 and verse 10. Oh, place your faith, your confidence, your trust in Jesus Christ. It is power to save you. Your complete obedience to Him and His will. In verse 9 and verse 10, look at these verses. I know you may say, oh, I've read that before. Well, read it again. Because these verses are masterpiece. The Bible said in verse 9 that if, that conditional word, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt believe in thy heart the God who raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. My dear friends, we today, what we need to do, we need to put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to believe in Him with everything that we're worth. And we need to confess the beautiful, the glorious name of Jesus Christ. Confess Jesus Christ. This is so very important. Confess His name to others. You know, before a person is baptized, we ask for a confession. The confession, I believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Confession with our mouth. That's what Romans 10, 9 and 10 talks about. We should confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus. Now, I'll be very honest with you. I don't like to say, do you believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God? And somebody say, yes. I like to hear the words, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's what I want to hear. That's what Romans 10, 9 and 10 talks about. And throughout the book of Acts, you find people saying, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. It's confessing Jesus with your mouth. But get a hold of this and don't lose sight of this. Confessing Jesus is not a one-time event in your life. Confessing Jesus is a way of life. It is professing your faith in the Lord Jesus. You do that day in and day out. You confess Jesus Christ to people. Your lips are free to talk about your faith in Jesus and confessing His name and trusting in Jesus. So we talk about trusting in God and Jesus all week long. And when you put your faith and your confession in Jesus and your obedience in Jesus Christ and following Him, it begins to make quite an impression on anyone who's in your immediate setting. Oh, well, I'll tell you what. When you read the Romans Road to Salvation, we can read right here all four of these points. We've all sinned. We've got the consequence of sin, the penalty of sin, included in the consequence of sin, and the fact that we must believe that Jesus Christ died for us, and the fact that we must trust in Jesus Christ to save. Nobody here would differ with that. You know what? Faith is music. With what I said right here, I could probably preach in 99% of the churches in Atlanta, Georgia, and surrounding areas, and no one would differ. That's the part that's the truth. It's very, very important. And these truths, I don't want to ever play them down. I want to build them up. I want to accept what's right. And then if there's a loose screw somewhere and a missing ingredient somewhere, I want to bring it to the table. And then, what kind of alarmed me when I first read this article and I got reading down here, all of a sudden got number 5 said, the final step. I thought, the final step? I don't know what the final step is. And I read it and it wasn't. It wasn't.
That concerned me. The final step is what they call it. I'm going to word it the way they have it here, please. The final step. This is what people are taught. The final step of salvation. That final step becomes to be the result of salvation. Oh, the result of salvation. Well, this is special. And this is precious. We want people to have good results of salvation. And this is really, really good. And it was taught to them. Look at Romans 5, verse 1. Romans the 5th chapter, please. And verse 1. Please turn with me. Romans 5, verse 1. The Bible said, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, we're justified by faith. And Peter said, therefore, you realize you sin, and you realize if you die in sin, you lose your soul. Therefore, you've got to believe that Jesus died for you. You've got to put your trust and your confidence in Jesus Christ. You've got to have faith in Jesus, and that's the final step in your result of salvation. You put your faith in Jesus. All right, go with me. Chapter 8 and verse 1. Chapter 8 and verse 1. The Word of God says the following. There is therefore now no condemnation which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Therefore there is no condemnation. I am justified by faith. Romans 5 verse 1. I have no condemnation. Romans 8 verse 31. And then, verse 37 and 38. Of Romans 8. Romans 8, 37, 38. Which is the very ending of the chapter. I will actually begin reading at verse 37. The Bible said, and I'm going to read 37, 38, and 39. So let's go ahead and include another passage here. 37 through 39, please. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor death, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ our Lord. It is so wonderful for everybody to know nothing will separate you from Jesus Christ our Lord if you give your true allegiance and obedience to Him and His will. But let me tell you what, I have a serious problem with calling this the final step. There's something drastically wrong here. Are you with me in the book of Romans? Would you please back up to chapter 6? I want to show you something here. This is Romans, where we've been all night long. This is chapter 6, verse 3 and verse 4. And listen, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to write this in red. The reason it's written in red is to get everybody's attention. I'm going to call this, for the purpose of this lesson right here, I'm going to call this the missing ingredient. Now you call it whatever you choose to call it. I know there's a lot of good ways you can refer to it, but I use this in my home studies. I'll give it in my sermon, the missing ingredient. That is, what is left out. What is left out of God's plan of God of the Romans Road to Salvation. And that's what I'm making that for, okay? What is left out of the Romans Road to Salvation? The Romans Road to Salvation contains an enormous amount of biblical truth. But there's something left out. What is left out is found in Romans, the 6th chapter. I want to read with you verse 3 and verse 4. The Word of God said, know ye not that so many of us as are baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Are you reading? Look on to verse 4. Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. Baptism. Why in this world? Out of 1,490,000 articles, is baptism not mentioned? I want to know why. Why is it today across our land, the country, and the pulpits that people do not teach the importance of being baptized? Baptism. What reason? Puts us into
Christ. Oh, there, I have a whole sermon. I give 14 reasons that baptism, 14 things baptism accomplishes. All based on book, chapter, verse, and Bible. But in this verse, and in this verse alone, look what baptism will do for you. Therefore, we're buried with Him by baptism into death, that like Christ raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we shall walk in newness of life. When you're baptized, you can walk in new life. Why can you walk in new life? The reason you can walk in new life is that your sins have just been forgiven. That's why. Your sins are forgiven. You're rising to walk a new life. Read on, verse 5. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection. See, when Jesus died at Calvary, He died. He was buried, and He rose again. Did you know when you die, spiritually, when you're baptized, your old man of sin dies. You are buried in a water grave of baptism. You rise to walk a new life. Oh, this is so important. And I beg of everyone to please listen. And I beg of you, take this to your friends and to your neighbors, to everybody you can, that when you're baptized, you have gone in, that missing ingredient, baptism was left out. I have never seen a single example of the Roman road to salvation that included baptism. And that's not right. It's not right. There's something seriously wrong when that is left out so consistently. And I want to explain to you why it's left out and what direction people go. But I wanted to do this. I wanted to show you point 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. We've all sinned. The consequence of sin. We should believe in Jesus. We should trust in Jesus to save. We should understand the result of salvation. I want you to understand all of that. And then I want you to see what was left out. This part is true, points 1 through 5. It's not the final step. Therefore, I'm going to mark it out. The word final is marked out. It's not the final step. Baptism into Jesus Christ is your final step from being a sinner to being a saint. To being a non-Christian to being a Christian. To being an unbeliever to being a believer. That's the step. Now what I want to do is I want to take this, and don't let me throw you a curve here, but I want to back up. I want to back up to what they call the final step, and then what is advised you to do. Now, I want you to verify what I'm saying. I don't want you to take my word for it. I want you to go to Google, and I want you to type in the Roman Road to Salvation, and then read whatever you want to read, because it's all there. I'm not making this up. I didn't print this article out, and I did not. Yes, I printed this article out. I did not write this article. I'm just illustrating for you this is what is taught. And what is taught here, after you do the final aspect, it's called here the final aspect of the Roman road to salvation. And then it said, would you like to follow the Roman road to salvation? If so, pray this simple prayer and you can pray to God. Pray what we call today the sinner's prayer. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm standing red here because this is the problem. I'm going to be very fair. I'm very fair with the situation. We know what it's called. The sinner's prayer. This is called the sinner's prayer. And people say, now here's what we need to do. We need to pray the sinner's prayer. You realize the final step was unto salvation. Now it's time to pray the sinner's prayer. Now my question is, where is the book? Where is the chapter? Where is the verse that proves the sinner's prayer? That's what I want to know. You know what I'm telling you? It's not there. If you know where one is, be sure to let your speaker know. It's not there. Let me tell you what you can do. You can go to the book of Acts. You can look at 12 to 14 cases of conversion. And when people say, sir, what must I do? What must I do to be saved? What will you have me to do? The Lord said, go pray the sinner's prayer. No, not one time did He say that. You know what He told them to do? Repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. He told them the importance of baptism. That's what He told them to do. One time? Yes. Twice? Yes. You know what? Every case of conversion in the book of Acts, before that person became a Christian, they were told to be baptized. Let me tell you what. That is the missing ingredient. And here's the deal. You will never get away from the Roman road of salvation. You will never, ever get away from it. He said, well, what do you mean?
You're never going to get away from it. It's going to always be before your eyes. Now, please give you a few brief examples. Back in July, Lord willing, last year, several of us brethren got together and sisters, and we canvassed the area right around the church building. Several blocks, several couples and young people and older folks got together, and we passed out brochures inviting people to services. Just like you did in your neighborhood, you invited friends and neighbors to the community to visit this revival. And there's one young couple, man and wife, they're in their early 20s, and they delivered a handbill to those gentlemen and said, here, we'd like to invite you to a revival, to a gospel meeting. And he said, tell you what I'll do. I'll take your brochure, and I'll think seriously about coming, and here's what I want you to take. And he gave him a list, you know what it called? The Romans Road to Salvation. This gentleman said, here, if you want to be saved, do these things right here. And I got it, and I compared it here, and it was tit for tat. The Romans Road to Salvation. You see, we're there knocking on doors, inviting people to hear the gospel, and that's what you find. Don Kuhn, one of the church leaders of the Grapevine congregation, on the 4th of July, he decided to take his wife and his kids down to see the 4th of July parade. That's pretty innocent fun, you know. Pretty cheap, too, by the way. You know, I pay a lot of money to go to a parade. Matter of fact, it doesn't usually cost anything. And they were sitting there, and they had one train after another coming by. And it was kind of neat to see all the 4th of July atmosphere. And this one was throwing out candy to kids. Well, you know, the kids are, they're going to grab that candy up and tell them, wow, Dad, look at all this candy I got. Well, around that candle with a cartoon strip. Told him. Don said, see what? You eat the candy. Let me read the strip. You know what he did? He read the strip. You know what it said? The Romans Road to Salvation. He went to a parade and he saw the Romans Road to Salvation. We have another family there, Jerry and Anita Wall. They had sold their house in Irving. They were moving to Grapevine. And when they did, Jerry and I were sitting at a restaurant with our families, and we saw over here some free phone books, we thought. But what it really was, it was a guide to new residents. And it was kind of like a phone book. It had different things advertised. And then here's the phone number. Well, the center of the book, two pages, the center of the book, it talked about the Romans Road to Salvation. And your God as a new resident. There it is. Back in about October, I moved into a new neighborhood. I moved into that new neighborhood. I really minded my own little business there in my little neighborhood. And not knock on the door. And this gentleman that met me, this very nice gentleman, he and his wife actually, and they said, we just wanted to give you a packet of information, and we wanted to invite you to this church right around the corner here. And I would just like for you to read that and think about it. If you have any questions, give me a call. And he said, do you have a church home? I said, yes, sir, I do. And I explained to him who I was and what my profession was. And I said, I'd be glad to read your literature. So open it up. You know what it was? The Romans Road to Salvation. And then, if you travel much, and especially several years ago, now this will change from time to time, but in the nightstand of a motel, they have what they call the Gideon's Bible. And the Gideon's Bible has, their organization has a goal of putting Bibles in everywhere they let them, like in hospital rooms and in motels and things like that. And you'll see that. Now, not in all of them. I know that. But I do know this is in a whole lot of them. And different printings, they decide to advertise different things. But in the ones that I have, you open up the back, and it'd be right here in the back cover, the Romans Road to Salvation. Can't even get to a motel without it. Can't even get home in your living room without it. Can't go to parade. Can't even move to a new neighborhood without the Romans Road to Salvation. So what I'm telling you is, it is there, and we may as well own up to it and be ready to explain why the Romans Road to Salvation is good for as far as it goes, but it doesn't go far enough. And if you want to know why many times your friends and your family and your community people that you love to visit with and they just love you, you love them to death. If you want to know what is the roadblock, this is the roadblock right here. That's a roadblock. And then they're told to pray the sinner's prayer. Now, I just retyped it, so here it is. The sinner's prayer, this is one of the little brochures that's given to the young people there in Manteca, California. Here is what they're told to pray. Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. Please forgive me for my sins. Jesus, come into my heart. Save my soul from hell. I'm trusting you and you alone to take me to heaven when I die. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for saving me, Jesus. Amen. The Manteca religious group. And I ask you, where's the scripture for that? Oh, there's another one here. Oh, there's several I can read. I'm not reading them all to you. They all say basically the same thing. Here's the contents of that prayer. The prayer will be, admit you are a sinner.
And you realize the consequence or the penalty of sin. That's what you generally find in what's called the Lord's Prayer. You can see the consequence and the penalty of sin. And then they're going to emphasize the importance of believing and trusting in Jesus Christ to save. And that's good. That's good. And to realize the result of sin, the result of salvation is heaven. And if you don't accept it, the result of hell. That's a very, very good point. But you never see to be baptized into Jesus Christ. You don't see that. And I'm sorry. That breaks my heart. There's so much energy and effort and money and all is put into promoting something that has a missing ingredient. Back a number of years ago, the fire chief of Irving, Texas. Now, Irving, Texas is a city of 200,000 people, approximately. Well, the fire chief of Irving was coming to worship with us. And one day, well, we had talked about scripture hit and missing, but one day he said, you know, I want to get with you for lunch. I said, that'd be great. So we met at Red Lobster. In case you ever want to take some Red Lobster, I like it. It's too high. But anyway, that's beside the point. So he was by, and he was fire chief. Okay, so we went there, and we sat there, and we began to talk. And he said, you know what? It kind of bothers me. He said, I've been going to this church now with you all for several weeks, and it kind of bothers me. He said, you know what? He said, named the person and said, they don't think I'm saved. And you probably don't think I'm saved either. He said, but you know what? I don't care. I really don't care what you think. And he was a straight shooter. I like that. I like to see things just the way, you know, it's either right or left. You know, what we call black and white. That's the way it is. And he said, I really don't care whether you think I'm saved or not. That really doesn't bother me. It doesn't bother me that she don't think I'm saved. It doesn't bother me that anybody does. I know I'm saved. I said, well, would you please explain to me what you did to be saved? Because that's important to me. So he explained it. There it was. This is it. He explained all of this to me. I said, well, you know, that's very interesting. Now, here's the deal. I tell him, I said, there is a missing ingredient in your salvation. Now, here's what you have. You have a choice. Get mad or not get mad. That's your choice. I ask you, don't get mad. I just ask you to listen. I'll listen to you for 15 minutes to explain to me this. Would you please listen? And would you follow in the Bible? Let me show you some missing ingredients in your salvation. He was a very kind gentleman, very sweetheart. And he listened. He studied that. He said, you know what? I will think about that. He did make some points worth it. These verses all throughout the Bible, not just in the book of Romans. All throughout the book of Acts and Matthew, Mark, Luke, and it's just pretty great. And just a few days later at church, he walked up to me and he put a paper sack and he said, here you go, buddy. Bang. Hit me right in the stomach with a paper bag that had clothes in it. He said, tonight I will be baptized into Jesus Christ for the remission of my sin. You know what I want you to know? I want you to know tonight, I've got clothes in the car. I brought clothes nearly every night. I might say every night, but nearly every night of this meeting. Because if any precious soul will obey the gospel of baptism, even though this perhaps is what you've been taught, you understand there's just a missing ingredient. I need to be baptized for the remission of my sin. That's important. That is very, very important. Now, I want you to understand this very clearly. I want to be very plain with you. That is not in the Bible, the sinner's prayer. We talked about it a moment ago. It's not in there. But here's how it normally works. They have a assembly similar to this. A lot of times they have a bench here. They call it the mourner's bench. Okay? And that's where you come up in the assembly and people will pray. And they pray the prayer and they pray quietly. They pray quietly. And it may be nobody or maybe just right 10 or 12, whatever the situation is. And then when they leave, you know why they think? You know why it's taught? They're leaving the sins of the mourner's bench. And then they're going back there to say, they just got saved. They were in the mourner's bench and prayed. You know what they prayed? The sinner's prayer. That's what they prayed. The sinner's prayer. And they went back there saved. So it's very important. And listen, to you that are in the church today, I want you to understand something. If you think you did that, and you went up to the mourner's bench and you had a little prayer, and you said all the right words and the phrases and the terminologies and the phraseologies, and you got all that taken care of, and you think you were saved right then, you were not baptized for the remission of your sins. You know why? Because you thought you were saved. That mourner's bench and praying to that mourner's bench is an idea of man. It is not found in Scripture. That idea of the sinner's prayer, do you know who made that popular? You by chance know that? Now, I'm going to use the name, and I don't know the name. You've heard me preach all week, and I usually don't. And this is not to be defamatory in any way. But I just want to be very honest with you, and you can see it on the internet. You can look it up. It's there. Billy Graham, I've heard him preach his great lessons. I've read some good books, and some good books. Now, when he gets to salvation, he muddies the water a little bit, I'll be honest with you. But he gives some good other reading material, and I've read some good books of his. Let me tell you what Billy Graham did. Now, he did not invent the sinner's prayer. He did not invent it. Matter of fact, it goes way back 100 years or more ago. But different ones added their own little touch to the sinner's prayer. But Billy Graham said, I want to take the sinner's prayer and I want to perfect it a little bit. And he worded it a special way. And then what I want to do, I want to promote it. You know, he gives it like a TV program. He did it in the younger years, once or twice a year. He'd come to your living room on the TV, and you could watch him on your TV. And a lot of people would gather around to watch because he has sometimes a good message. But his goal, and he said his goal was, I want to bring salvation to people's living rooms. That's what I want to do. And I want you to do. He preaches a sermon. He gets through. He'll have it sometime written on the screen. Pray this prayer, and you're saved. And I'd like for you to send me a note or money or something to let me know you prayed this prayer. It is so sad that somebody can be so good in so many ways and have missing ingredients. It is really sad. But listen, it doesn't matter who it is. If it's me, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. If you're wrong, you're wrong. Now, you got to get ready for that. That's no fun to say, I'm wrong. I messed up. I've got a missing ingredient. Nobody finds joy in that. Let me tell you what it is joyous. It is joyous to know that we can get forgiveness of our sin, that we can go to heaven. This side of death, this side of the Lord's return, this side of the judgment day, salvation can be ours if we make the right choices. But if we choose not to, we got a problem. We lose our soul. We're going to have to make a choice. And here's what I want to do. I want to take you to Romans. And I want to tell you something here. This is quite interesting. It is to me. I hope it is to you. Did you know the Bible talks about the importance of hearing the Word of God? It also talks about the importance of believing the Word of God. It talks about the importance of repenting of your sins. And we want to do that. We want to repent of our sins. When we do things wrong, we can preach in this, Lord willing, tomorrow night, preaching repentance. We also are to confess the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of our sins. Well, you know today, when you are told to hear the Word of God, to believe the Word of God, to repent of your sins, to confess the name of Jesus, be buried in baptism, did you know that is God's plan of salvation? Did you know that's what's written in the Word? That's what we should do? Would you turn with me now? We'll all stand in the book of Romans. Go with me to chapter 10, verse 17. Romans 10, verse 17. Romans 10 and 17. The Word of God says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the Word of God. Faith comes by what? Hearing. Hearing comes by the Word of God. Do you have, many of you, have the Word of God, the Scriptures in your lap? We've been preaching the Word of God. You love hearing preaching the Word of God, and I commend you for that. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing what? The Word of God. That's how you have faith, and that's what you need today. Faith. We talked about faith earlier. We had a verse earlier that addressed faith. There it is right here. Go with me now. Romans 5 and verse 1. Romans 5 verse 1. Look at that verse. This verse says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to put a little asterisk by here because in a little bit, I'm going to say just a little bit more about this. And this is going to be really important. The faith that saves is the faith that obeys. Now, I want you to understand that. Now, I'm going to emphasize that here in a minute. But I'm saying it right now, unless I were to forget, and I don't think I'm going to because I don't plan to. But the faith that saves is a faith that obeys. All right? Let's look at repentance, please. Would you go with me to Romans, the second chapter? And would you please look with me in verse 4? Romans 2 and verse 4. In Romans 2 and verse 4, this is a wonderful passage. Or despises thou the riches of his goodness, the forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing the goodness of God, it leads you to repentance. That's wonderful. The goodness of God leads us to repentance. Oh, tomorrow night. I can hardly wait that we can say it about repentance. But I'm going to wait till tomorrow night, Lord willing, to do that. But we understand Romans 2, 4, that God leads thee to repenting. We must change our life, change our heart, change our ways, and we must make a change and no longer go this way, but go that way. And do the right thing. All right, confession. Oh, confess the name of Jesus. Romans 10, verse 9 and verse 10. There it is. I like it again. We read it earlier, but we're showing you here that the real plan of salvation is given by God. I'm found in many other places, but it's all found right here in the book of Romans. In Romans 10, verse 9 and 10, I will turn with you, and I really appreciate it when you turn with me so we can read it. I read it aloud and you read it to yourself, but you see it's in your book, the Bible. And it's important today. Verse 9, that if thou shalt confess, there it is, with the mouth, the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe with the heart that God raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession made unto salvation. Everybody understands that. That when you confess the name of Jesus and you believe in thy heart, you can be saved. And that is wonderful. That's God's way. And believing alone didn't save. No, they had to confess too. You know, sometimes people say, you're saved by faith and faith alone. Did you know that? That is really true. And there are a lot of people said, you're saved by faith and faith alone. But now Romans 10 said, you've got to believe, but you've also got to confess. If you don't confess, you'll be lost. Wow. So that really paints a little different picture there. You must confess the name of Jesus. And then baptism. Romans 6, verse 3 and verse 4. I know I read this a moment ago. This is not repetition. This is reinforcement. Romans 6, chapter verse 3 and 4. Know you not that so many of us as baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death, as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in the newness of life. Oh, how wonderful and how precious it is that once we're baptized, this is how we get into Jesus Christ. We're baptized into Jesus Christ. That is huge. We need to be so thankful for that. And it's in the book of Romans too. I don't understand how in this world that was left out of the Romans Road of Salvation. That's been promoted by scholarly men throughout the world for a long, long time. I don't know why. I can speculate, but my speculation is no better than yours. But what we know is a fact without speculation is Romans 6, verse 3 and 4 in the book of Romans. And we know that Romans 6, 3 and 4 teaches the importance of baptism. And thirdly, we know that Romans 6 and 3 and 4 is not included anywhere here in the Romans Road to Salvation. And what we know is the sinner's prayer is nowhere found from Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, all the way to Revelation. It's not found anywhere in the Bible. That's what we know. Now, here's what I'm going to do. This is what I call in conclusion, but that doesn't mean grab your soul book, because I'm not through yet. That just means I'm headed that way. I'll give you three more verses. These three verses are huge. I want you to follow me very carefully here. So here we are. First of all, go with me to Romans 5 and verse 1. In Romans 5 and verse 1, it says you're justified by faith. That's great. We're justified by faith. Now, that's what the Word says. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know what I want? I want peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to put my faith and my confidence into Jesus Christ. But you know, I've got a little question here. You're justified by faith. But look at all these other things. Hearing and repenting and confession and baptism. And they're all from the book of Romans. So what kind of faith is he really talking about? Would you do me a favor? Would you go all the way back to Romans 1? The first chapter of Romans. All right. This is the second verse here. Now this is real easy. Instead of Romans 5 and 1 that teaches you're justified by faith, this is Romans 1 and 5 that teaches the faith that saves is obedient faith. Here it is. It's right here. I turn it and I read it aloud as you read it to yourselves. By whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for His name. Wow, isn't that wonderful? It is obedient faith. The faith Paul is talking about is obedient faith. Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to step all the way to the end of Romans, chapter 16. So we've gone from the first chapter of Romans, Romans 1:5, now to Romans the 16th chapter. Now in Romans the 16th chapter, you can see this at the very end of the chapter, by the way, in verse 26 here. Romans 16, verse 26. And you're going to see he's talking about obedient faith. Look at it. One of the last verses. The next last verse in this great book of Romans. But now it's made manifest. And by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. What kind of faith saves you? The faith that I believe that Jesus lived. I believe that Jesus died. I believe in Jesus. Well, all of that's important. But is that all it means? Just a mental assent that Jesus is real? No. The faith that saves is obedient faith. The faith that takes you to heaven is obedient faith. The faith you're justified by is obedient faith. Did you know this? The word faith is used over 30 times in the book of Romans. Romans only has 16 chapters, so if you go averaging all that out, it's used 2+ times per chapter on the average. Now, I'll tell you what. Paul the Apostle did not have to say, obedient faith, obedient faith, obedient faith, and obedient faith over 30 times. He didn't have to do that. So what he did? He started chapter 1. He said, now, folks, I'm writing to you about faith. And the kind of faith we're talking about, Romans 1:5, is obedient faith. And then over here, in chapter 16, he said, now, the faith we've been talking about throughout this entire letter, in Romans 16 and 26, is an obedient faith. So what, this is what I call the bookends of Romans. Bookend, Romans 1 verse 5, obedient faith. The other bookend is Romans 16 and 26, obedient faith. That's what I call the bookend of Romans. Therefore, he doesn't have to repeat that every 30-something time, but he said the kind of faith we're talking about is obedient faith. We are not saved by faith only. We're saved by obedient faith. Regardless of who we are, we're saved by obedient faith. Well, there's a lot more I could say. But I did say that I might, toward the end of the lesson, give a couple of additional verses, the Lord willing, and Alan is willing. Did you know this? There's two men that tried that about praying for salvation, and neither one of them made it. Did you know that? Go with me. Let me show you this. And this will be quick. I'm going to write it on the board. So if you want to write down, this is your PS to the sermon, okay? Acts 9 chapter. Acts 9 chapter, Saul of Tarsus. And what we find right here is that Saul was a man of God. And he was in, it's Acts 9 chapter and verse 11. This is the conversion of Saul of Tarsus. Acts 9 verse 11. Not verse 6, verse 11. Acts 9 verse 11. The Lord said unto him, arise, go into the street which you call straight. Inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. Saul was praying. And what do you think he was praying for? For it to rain? Not on your life. He was praying to the Lord to forgive him of his sin because he had murdered Christians. That's what he was praying for. He was praying for remission of sins. And you know what happened? So Ananias got there like the Lord said. He said, you need to arrive. You need to be baptized and wash away your sins. That's what you need to do. You need to be baptized so your sins can be gone bye-bye. He prayed for 3 days. He even fasted for 3 days. He didn't eat nor drink for 3 days. That's a whole other study. I would love to study with you, but I don't think we'll have time this week. All right, if you're at Acts 9, flip the page to chapter 10. Look at the minute, chapter 10 and verse 2. This is Cornelius. The conversion of the Gentile people, the first Gentile conversion. In verse 2, Acts 10, verse 2, a devout man describing Cornelius, one that feared God with all of his house, which gave much honor to the people and prayed to God always. So here is Saul of Tarsus, who said, I'm the chiefest of sinners. He was praying for salvation. He didn't work. He had to be baptized for the remission of his sin. You have here Cornelius, who was a devout man, an honorable man, an upright man in a lot of ways, but he was a sinner. And look at verse 48 of the same chapter, Acts 10, verse 48. And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry for certain days. My friends, my point is simply this. You do not pray your sins away before you become a member of the family of God. You don't do it. You cannot find that anywhere from Matthew to Revelation. And I'll just simply show you that so you will never, ever be misled. You always ask for that book, chapter, and verse. You ask your sinner's prayer. Recently, this one lady was baptized. And she told me she was saved first in one of the earlier services. She said she was saved. I said, well, I said, it's always good to meet saved people. I said, but would you do me a favor, please? Would you just kind of explain to me what you did to be saved? I'd just kind of like to hear that and hear what people studied have led them to. Well, she did. She said, well, I did all this. She explained to me the Roman road of salvation in her own way. She called it the Bible way of salvation, but similar. And then she said, and I did that, and then I prayed the sinner's prayer. I said, well, would you do me a favor, please? Can you show me that sinner's prayer? Because I've heard of that, but I just never found it. And I realize I don't know everything in the Bible. I fully realize that. And I could have missed it. So if you would you please show it to me in the Bible? She said, I don't know where it is, but my pastor does. That's fine. I understand. There's times that I can't think of a verse to save my life. I know it's in that. I can't think of it. I fully understand that. I said, next week when I come by, do you think you'd have time in a week to talk to your pastor and that he could show it to you? He said, that's possible. Do we need 2 weeks or 1 week? Oh, no, no. Well, I just need an afternoon. All I could do is call him and do it. I said, well, you could call him now or you could call him through the week, but I would like you just simply do that for me, please, because I want to see that. Because I didn't think it was in the Bible, and I don't think it's in the Bible. But if you can show it to me, then I'll accept that. It's plain and simple. If it's in the Word of God, I was going to accept it. She said, don't you worry, it's in there. She said, next week I'll have it for you. Well, I can hardly wait till next Tuesday. But somehow I know you have 7 days in a week, 24 hours a day, and it was a while before I could go back. But Tuesday I was knocking on her door. I was talking to her about salvation. And we went in, I said, did you find it? Did you talk to your pastor? She said, you better sit down. She said, I asked him about the sinner's prayer. And you know what the first words out of his mouth was? It's not there. She told me it's not there. They've taught me that for years. Pray the sinner's prayer. And I've done that. And it's not there, he said. It's not there. I said, you know what? I wouldn't accept that. I wouldn't pray the sinner's prayer if you're not in the Bible. Because what I'm going to show you is in the Bible. And I studied with her about baptism and what it accomplishes. And you know what was so wonderful and so sweet? That she obeyed the gospel. She became my sister in Christ. And I was so thankful for her because her mind was opened. It was ripe. She was willing to give her life to the Lord. She said, I was so disappointed. I said, well, I'm glad that you had the audacity to call and ask. Some people don't. You did, and I'm proud of you for that. And you asked, and you found out it wasn't there. God bless you. And she obeyed the gospel, and I want you to know she's my sister in Christ. And she's your sister in Christ, even though most of you may never meet her. Dear friend, I ask all of you to have the same commitment, that you'll obey the Word of God. If it's not in the Bible, do not accept it. If it is, accept it. Please do that for your salvation. Okay. At this time, our lesson is over. Thank you. You have an awesome audience. I could just keep on preaching, and you probably thought I was. This is, somebody ran that clock forward, I think, while I was preaching. But I really enjoyed it. I did get here late, by the way, but we have traffic here in this part of the country. But you've been so patient, man. I know you're going to be patient enough to stick around for the refreshment after services, so therefore, maybe give me a little leeway to preach a little longer. But no, you've been wonderful tonight. You've taken notes. You've studied with me. Thank you for that, and God bless you. I ask you to search out your soul. Make sure you're ready to meet your Maker. If you are, God bless you. But if you're not, you can sit down right here on this row. And what we'll ask you, what I will ask you, is what are your desires? That's what I'll ask you. Every one of you. If you were to be 1, 2, 3, I'll ask you, what are your desires? And you let me know, my desire is to obey the gospel and baptism. We'll take care of that immediately following services. Or my desire is that I'm a baptized believer and I've sinned. I've come short of the glory of God and I ask you to pray with me and pray for me. We'll do that. See? You have to make the next step. It's got to be yours. The ball's in your court. If you're not ready to meet your Maker, you can be ready before you walk out that door. There's baptism right there. We can put water in it and you'll be baptized. You can do that tonight. I've got my clothes. You'll be baptized tonight. Be a member of the family of God and right and ready with Him. If you've been baptized, you've not lived like you should, you got problems you want to pray about, we'll do that. Please come. I'll stand.